Welcome to the Animal Voices radio show here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, October the 12th, 2012, and it's the Dairy Show today. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Alyssa Ray.
Hello.
And my guest co-host, Robin Pickell.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone. Animal Voices is Vancouver's and Western Canada's only animal advocacy and vegan radio program, bringing you all the animal and vegan-related news, events, interviews, lifestyle, and commentary you need to keep up to date on what's happening both locally and internationally. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the same rights that humans take for granted. This program can be heard every Friday from noon till 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. For our first segment today, we will be presenting to you a piece entitled The Phenomenon of Drinking Another Species' Milk, which aptly fits into today's show theme, and it's something that I would like to bring out into the forefront of our listeners' minds for discussion. Human beings are not only the only species who drink milk after weaning, but we are also the only species that drinks milk from another species. We'll be taking that notion a bit further to allow our listeners to think a bit outside the box when it comes to the messages we are relayed in society from a very young age. And for our feature interview today, we will have an interview with documentary filmmaker Shira Lane, whose film, Got the Facts on Milk, will be screening here in Vancouver next Tuesday, October 16th, at the Vancouver Public Library at 7 p.m. I had the pleasure of watching this film this week and found it to be not only really entertaining, but also truly informative. It's a humorous feature documentary that questions the deep-rooted belief in the health benefits of cow's milk that we've literally been bottle-fed since infants. We'll have Shira on the show to speak to us about some of her findings in making the film that are presented in the film, such as people's beliefs about cow's milk and where they get their information about from it, and nutritional facts that she discovered from many leading health authorities in the country about cow's milk that may surprise and shock many. This interview is coming up in about 32 minutes, so please stay tuned for that. So we'd like to chat now and do a brief recap of our major community and fundraiser event of the year, which was our second annual Animal Voices Compassionate Thanksgiving Potluck that was held this Thanksgiving Monday in Vancouver. We had 145 people come out. It was St. Jean's Community Hall, and we had lots of delicious plant-based food creating. I just felt it was like really nice just to create a safe space for people to get together in a feasting environment where no animals had been harmed. And we also had the variety show portion of the evening, which consisted of 10 wonderful acts, including our own Robin and Alyssa. And they all featured a variety of creative and talented musicians who came on stage to share each with us their art and their music. There are also lots of raffle prizes, and we definitely appreciate the support of our sponsors who donated prizes for that and for all the people that came out and bought raffle tickets. What were some of the highlights of the event for you, Alyssa and Robin?
Oh, gee. Well, just seeing, I guess, all the people just stream in, I'm same as last year. I'm just always so humbled and amazed by the amount of support there is for the work that we're doing and how many people are interested in having a compassionate Thanksgiving. And yeah, that was a big part of it, just seeing so many smiling faces. And of course, it was a highlight for me to perform in front of an audience of like 150 people.
You've got a great voice.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, and Robin, I know you were nervous, but you sure couldn't tell. You were awesome, too.
I felt like my voice was shaking all over the place.
Oh, I didn't notice at all.
No, that's how I felt, too, and it really didn't really come across. You really seemed to own the stage, and I'm so glad your words got across.
Nice. Same to you.
Yeah. We actually recorded the event. Tim had a recorder. So you can, it's kind of from the back of the room, so you can kind of hear a murmur of voices, but the lyrics do stand out, and I'm hoping I can get permission from you and the other artists to share some of those songs, hopefully next week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do look forward to doing it again next year. It'll be our third annual event next year. I just really feel like we are obliged to. We need an event like this in Vancouver for for the Thanksgiving season, for sure. And judging by the amount of people came out, I think that's agreed upon in the community.
Another wonderful highlight for me was the words that you said before your song, just giving more meaning and depth to what we were doing there in the history, the colonial history of Thanksgiving and the basically genocide of the indigenous people. And I'm glad that you brought that up.
So moving on, Alyssa, you attended the big demo that was at the Vancouver Aquarium last week. Let's hear about that.
Oh, I sure did. And I was really glad to do that because usually I work on Sundays. So that was last Sunday, October 7th. It was 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. About 50 brave activists stood outside the gates of the Vancouver Aquarium holding up 12 huge banners. And there was loads of placards as well. And we ended up handing out about 500 flyers and spoke with aquarium visitors and staff and security guards. Lots of good conversations there. In the middle of the demo on the little hill there across from the aquarium gates, we featured the Vancouver mermaid, Courtney. She was the central attraction to the day. She was on kind of a blue tarp with some dolphins to keep her company. And she...
Not real dolphins.
And she just, she just talked to the public and helped get the word out and helped bring attention to the demo. And she was lovely. And so that was organized by the Coalition for No Whales in Captivity. It's a registered nonprofit society, grassroots, law-abiding, fully volunteer-run organization based in Vancouver. And their goal is to stop the aquarium from importing more performing whales and dolphins for public display. And that event was organized in solidarity with another protest at Marineland in Niagara Falls, Canada. It's Canada's largest marine park, and it's home to 41 beluga whales, one lone orca named Kiska, and a whole bunch of dolphins. I don't know how many. But so there was a massive demo there on Sunday, October 7th. That was organized by Marineland Animal Defense. We've had them on the show a couple months ago when the stories broke out in the Toronto Star about the deplorable conditions of the water there and just the terrible treatment of animals. And so 800 to 1,000 people showed up at that protest, which
it's on all over the internet, huh?
Amazing. And and what happened was a lot of people ended up going inside the park right to one of the dolphin tanks and yelling, "Shut it down, shut it down." And it was a really powerful video I saw of that. That movement itself wasn't supported by or organized by Marineland and Animal Defense, but it was just the momentum of the crowd. Just kind of they pushed past the gates, and it's pretty powerful. Also, Rick O'Berry was there, who was a former trainer.
We've had him on the show before. He gave such an amazing interview.
He was the man featured in the movie The Cove. So, if anyone wants to learn more about aquarium cruelty, you should see The Cove. So, I just wanted to quickly say one of my highlights was meeting the youngest activist at the Vancouver protest. Her name was Kayla, I think. And she made her own sign and colored it. It had a beautiful message against, child slavery as well, making that connection. And she did her best to hand out flyers. And she kept saying, "How do I get people to take them?" And she said the highlight for her was someone, a child who came up to her, a family who said, "You being here made the difference for us, and we're not interested in supporting this cruelty." And another highlight I had was meeting the mermaid, Courtney, who asked me for help in being vegetarian. And so I sent her an email, and she responded actually today saying, just thanking me for the help. And I'm gonna meet with her and help her transition, hopefully. So
that was
my personal highlight. So that brings us to today. Oh, another thing that's happening today, of course, is that it is our fall member drive. So we're asking you for a bit of help today. I just wanted to say that last night I attended a special event at the Council Chambers at City Hall. The event was hosted by Her Story Cafe and was called Women and Cooperatives, a Vancouver Historical Perspective. It was organized to commemorate Women's History Month, which is October, and 2012, the UN International Year of Cooperatives. It was a roundtable of women representing various co-ops around Vancouver. I heard about the beginnings of the CCF, the Cooperative Commonwealth Federation, which started near, I think, in the 20s or 30s, I think, and led to became the New Democratic Party. I learned about the CCEC Credit Union in East Van, the Vancouver Women's Health Collective, and the Cooperative Housing in BC, and also the SFU Child Care Society. So all these amazing co-ops. One thing I was really sad about was that Nicole Deegan, our director of member services, was supposed to be there, and she wasn't there, and that was very sad. She was going to talk about women in the history of Vancouver Co-op Radio. And I just wanted to say that at this talk, I was just very... I felt a great sense of pride to be a member of the cooperatives that I am a member of, Vancouver Co-op Radio being one of them. And just knowing that I'm a part of a long history of struggle and resistance, and that before me, countless people and countless women have stood up to come together to design an alternative from the top-down, profit-driven model, a human-centered way of operating and thriving. Co-op Radio is one of 9,000 co-ops in Canada, with more than 18 million co-op members across the country. And I'm a very proud member of Co-op Radio, and we're asking people who listen to Animal Voices, that's you, even if you're listening not live, if you're listening to the podcast or whatever, we do this show because of Co-op Radio and because of their support of marginalized voices, of people who, stories that are not heard on the mainstream stations. And we can only do this with your help. Animal Voices has such amazing programming. We feature authors like Will Tuttle he wrote The World Peace Diet, Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau, Sarah Kramer, our own BC vegan cookbook author and store owner in Victoria, filmmakers of Maximum Tolerated Dose, The Peaceable Kingdom and Skin Trade, and activists from all different kinds of areas working on zoos and fur and meat and all kinds of animal issues, and we need your help. And what I do to give to Co-op is I'm a sustaining member. I give just $10 a month, and I don't ever feel that, and I never have to worry about renewing my membership. So that's the kind of membership that we are asking you to give today. It's really, you can become a member of Co-op Radio with any amount. You can pick the amount, anything you can afford. They say about an annual membership would be about like $60 or so, but you can totally decide.
That's $5 a month.
Totally. And that's basically what we're asking, just $5 a month. We actually have to raise $1,000 in a year to basically stay on the air here. So we have various fundraisers throughout the year, and this is our main member drive. So the number to call is 604-684-8494. Volunteers are on the line waiting your call right now. Cooperadio.org, where you can make a secure donation. You just have to make sure to say Animal Voices on that form there. And, of course, there are two types of membership, as I said. There's a monthly sustaining membership and an annual membership, and you can decide what you want to do there. And we do give charitable donation tax receipts. And you have the opportunity to get involved yourself and to become the media. You have access to training and equipment as a member. You get the listener's guide mailed to you two times a year. And we also are doing a draw for special gifts from Animal Voices. We have gift certificates to Eternal Abundance and Gorilla Food. We have a couple books to offer, The Inspired Vegan and Becoming Vegan. And I think, we'll be doing the draw in the next couple weeks for all the people who donate during this member drive. So thank you so much for your support.
Drishti Point is a radio program featuring interviews about yoga, spirituality, and wellness. Our guests include yogis, authors, musicians, healers, and renowned spiritual teachers. Tune in Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. for your weekly dose of yoga wisdom and inspiration.
You are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And please send us a donation either by going on to cooperadio.org. You can do it online, or you can give us a call at 604-684-8494.
And our goal today is $200. So please help us get there. Give what you can.
And it's tax deductible too. So I just wanted to mention some events that are coming up in the area. There is a free film screening of Got the Facts on Milk, of the director who we'll be speaking with later today. And part of the reason why we're speaking to her is in promotion of this film that's coming up next week. So this is being put on by Liberation BC, our local nonprofit group here for the animals. Tuesday, October 16th at 7 p.m. It's free. It's happening at the Vancouver Central Library. And it seems like there's a lot of people going. So I really do. Hopefully, if you're kind of undecided at this point, after listening to our interview, you're going to be sold on it. And you can actually learn more and see the trailer for the film at milkdocumentary.com. So once again, it's happening on October the 16th at 7 p.m. at the Vancouver Public Library, which is at 350 West Georgia Street. Liberation BC is also having their monthly volunteer night on next Wednesday, October the 17th, from 6 till 8 p.m. They're going to have a special guest for the October volunteer night, who's going to be John Oberg. He's one of Vegan Outreach's superstar activists. John, who is visiting from Arizona, has handed out an astounding 186,000 leaflets in the past 3 years alone. These are the Vegan Outreach leaflets, Why Vegan, and other similar leaflets that really often people, activists, say that they are, it is the main major way to get people to start thinking about their food choices and to eat more compassionately for the animals. So this is a great opportunity to actually ask questions and get tips from him. He's one of the best leafleters around. This is happening at Nice Shoes, the vegan shoe store, at 3568 Fraser Street at 19th Avenue in Vancouver. There will also be yummy vegan snacks provided, and you'll be doing some volunteering as well for Liberation BC. Now, if you are interested in doing some leafleting yourself with John next week, he's going to be making the rounds to all different kinds of university, college campuses. That's what they do. That's their campaign. And we recommend that if you want to find out more about it, you can go onto the liberationbc.org website and click on their blog at the top there. And there's a post that gives more information about everything they'll be doing. I believe there's a contact on there as to how to get more information if you wanted to help out with that. And I think I'm also going to post it on our website, too, so it's easier to find on the show post for today. That's animalvoices.org. That's all the time we have for events today. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced in the show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Or you can post it on our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. And this brings us to the part of the show that is called The Phenomenon of Drinking Another Species' Milk. So we're going to have a little bit of a discussion here, and then I'm going to play a fun video for you. So, human beings are the only species, other than cats, as Alyssa pointed out, who not only drink milk past the weaning stage, but they also only drink milk from another species. Is that something that people think about? I'm sure you and I, all of us here, think about that a lot, which is why we don't drink cow's milk. But is that something that we normally question as a society? Why do we drink milk from another species, and why from a cow? Alyssa and Robin, what do you think are some of the common responses to this question if you were to ask the average person, why do you drink milk from another species?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
I think that people don't really think about it that much. I mean, if we ask them, they would say, oh, well, because that's what everyone does, and that's what my parents did, that it comes in a bottle to my doorstep, you know, and it's just a white, very healthy liquid, good for our bodies, good for our health.
Milk does the body good.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the health benefits, I think people would bring up for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll definitely be talking more about that during our next interview. And if you want to learn more about just sort of how people think about that, I encourage people to watch the Got the Facts on Milk documentary, because she actually interviews a lot of people about that. Well, if you think about it, if perhaps people don't, what milk is, it's the maternal lactating secretion and a short-term nutrient for newborn babies. That's what it is. When it's time to wean off the breast onto proper foods for whatever species, mammals, humans, pigs, cows, we actually stop drinking milk from the mother's breast. Now, it's not possible for animals living in a natural state to continue with the drinking of milk after weaning. Of course, you don't want your mother to be continually pregnant for into her adulthood, which is what she would need to be if she were to keep lactating and producing milk for you, right? Because that's what a mother, whether it's a cow or a human being, needs to do. They can't just keep producing milk. It's only for infancy and early childhood. So I want to explain to people why it is and how this works scientifically. So when we're born as babies, we have, and you may not know this, and it's something that I certainly know, but I just don't think the general public realizes this. We have an enzyme in our body, it's called lactase, that is used to break down the milk sugars in that are found in milk, which is lactose, that's milk sugar. And it allows us to break down the milk sugars and be able to digest them. And then when it's time for weaning, we lose that enzyme, or we're supposed to lose that enzyme, at least, after weaning. And in North America, because of all this cow's milk drinking that has been forced upon us to such a large extent for the last 100 years or so, 85% of Caucasians actually have a genetic mutation now where they are able to digest the lactose. And it's a fact, however, that 75% of the world's population is actually lactose intolerant. And by lactose intolerant, you probably know what that means. If people listening to this show are lactose intolerant, there's a whole lot of symptoms that come with that. And that is food allergies, runny noses, rashes, hives, wheezing and asthma, diarrhea, constipation, itchy, swollen eyes. Those are all symptoms of lactose intolerance. So I just wanted to put that out there and to make people think about that. And also to put out the question for you, what if we were to drink other species' milk? Why cow? What about dog's milk? Cat's milk? Would you like to drink your cat's milk?
Yeah, what about killing your cat's kittens and then just sucking on your cat's teat? How about
just
that?
Just basically what happens to the dairy calves, right?
Yep.
They, I mean, we'll get more into that in the interview. You know, the fact is that cow's milk is meant for baby cows, just as dog's milk is meant for puppies and human milk is meant for humans. So, as Alyssa said, people probably drink milk because they like it. It's become a part of our culture. However, cultures do evolve and they can change over time. And as cow's milk is widely available for humans to consume, so now are other forms of milk. Milk from almonds, soybeans, hemp seeds, potatoes, oats, coconuts, and flax seeds, to name some of them.
And rice.
And I want to leave you with some food for thought here. I want to ask you this question. What if we were to drink human milk as an adult? Now, there's a thought. Is that natural? Do you want to be sucking on your mother's breasts when you're a human? What do you think, Alyssa?
I missed that.
Do you want to be sucking on your mother's breasts as a human adult?
I don't really. Well, no. And no.
You're just going to, I mean, because a mother makes enough milk to raise her baby. So if you're sucking on her breast as an adult, that means that there's a baby that's not getting the milk. I mean, I think that's what is most poignant to me.
But it hurts the cows if you don't milk them. They have to be milked.
That's very tongue-in-cheek. So I just wanted to make sure people realize that Alyssa's kidding. To conclude this segment, very short segment, I just wanted to really just open some doors for people just to start thinking about these things. There's a singer/comedian named Vegan Smythe who has done a bit of a comedy bit about this. It's a song entitled Human Milk Dairy, and he's got a comedy piece in front of it. Please have a listen to this and definitely start thinking and questioning.
All right, so if you've ever said, oh, these vegans are dreamers, you know? I mean, if everyone went vegan, oh, the economy would be butchered. Butchered. Or if you've ever said, ah, you know, I'd love to be a vegan. Oh, I would so love it, but, you know, I couldn't give up my cheese. Couldn't give it up. No, not me. Couldn't give up my milk, not my cream. Well, if you've ever said either of those two things, I've got three words for you. Three words. Human milk dairy. Ah, human milk dairy. It's my own concept. Kill two beans with one burrito. All right, so you'd create thousands of jobs, plus millions of litres of frothy white discharge for your cornflakes. Jessica's scored a place at the human milk dairy. Although her teachers had told her that she'd never amount to much. Oh yeah, congratulations, Jess, well done. And Jessica's in a great mood at the human milk dairy. Oh, those milky mornings. Ah, that squeezing touch. And she's making it to the top by making her milk non-stop. She's doing her best. She's never a pest. She's expressing her zest while they're expressing the milk from her breast. Camilla is like the queen of the human milk dairy. She's been pregnant for 11 straight years, but she still looks swell. But Camilla is getting too old for the human milk dairy. Although apart from her swollen, infected nipples, she's well. And she made it to the top by making her milk non-stop. She's doing her best. She's never a pest. She's due for a rest, but you would never have guessed. Just expressing her zest while they're expressing the milk from her breast. Well, Camilla's had 14 children, and every child has brought her joy. Until the very next day when it's taken away and killed if it's a boy. Now I bet you all hate this song called Human Milk Dairy. I bet the lyrics I'm singing are giving you all the shudders. 'Cause you wouldn't stand for the strains and demands of a dairy. Unless, of course, you happen to be born with udders. 'Cause when you're a cow, you've got no choice. 'Cause you've got no voice.
You've got no voice.
So you just spend your life making it till you drop. Just making your milk non-stop. Oh well, you're doing your best. You're never a pest. Your body's possessed like you're under arrest. But if you're feeling oppressed, we would never have guessed. 'Cause you're expressing your zest while they're expressing the milk from your breast. We're totally assuming that you'd never detest us expressing the milk from your breast. Ooh, yeah.
That was Vegan Smythe. I just wanted to mention that his songs are all, a lot of them are vegan themed, and they're all available on iTunes.
Nice. You are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 100.5 FM on CFRO, unceded Coast Salish territory, Vancouver, BC, Canada. Now we've got a few news items. I'm going to start with one that's really fitting for this week's show about dairy. It is from the Valley Voice, which is Chilliwack's local news. The story's called Making Music. And I have some really sad news, actually. The BC Dairy Association is inviting British Columbians to try their hand at composing original music for a burgeoning new audience of aficionados, milk-producing dairy cows. So the online initiative entitled Music Makes More Milk takes as its basic premise a common observation among dairy farmers that cows respond positively to music. So over time... Okay, this is a quote from David Ito, who's the executive director for the BC Dairy Association. Over time, BC dairy farmers get to know their cows well. They understand their behavior, their moods, their likes, and their dislikes. And one thing they've come to learn is that happy cows produce more milk, Well, I don't think it's possible to make cows happy in the situations that they're in, because they're locked up away from their friends, they're milked with machines, and their babies are stolen from them. So I think this whole premise is really ridiculous, and I think we'd probably all agree on that. This contest has been going on since Wednesday, so 2 days, and there's already 154 entries, which is frightening for me. So to prime the cows for the contest, an accomplished quartet of classically trained musicians who were led by Coast Symphony Orchestra conductor Edette Gagné visited the Fraser Valley's Valadurn farm today and performed an opening act of Mozart numbers 2 days ago. That's really screwed up. I just wanted to announce that. Maybe we should enter some of our own songs, you know.
I think so. Yeah, actually. I'm inspired to write a song to the cows. A different sort of song. It's very strange, yeah.
Which we can then air on the show.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Thanks for that. Mm. Okay, so in other dairy news that is unhappy, so Mercy for Animals is one of the largest groups in the States working to uncover cruelty in farms. They do a lot of undercover investigations, and they had one video that was released a couple months ago, actually in August, I think, of one particular dairy farm, Betancourt Dairy's Dry Creek Dairy in Idaho. And it was from an undercover worker who just was there for a few weeks, but the amount of footage he got of terrible, terrible, terrible animal cruelty is just startling. So the video shows dragging a cow by the neck with a tractor, bending a cow's tail backwards to manipulate her, kicking the cows in the face, jumping on their backs, using their heads as a punching bag, repeatedly shocking down cows, and lots of injured cows suffering from broken bones and open wounds and infected udders. It just seemed to be a number of different people and happening a lot. And so actually three former dairy workers with Idaho's largest dairy have been charged now with misdemeanor animal cruelty. If they're convicted, there's fines up to $5,000 and 6 months of jail time for a first offense. A spokesperson for the dairy said, "We don't tolerate animal abuse. That's a big issue for us. Animal care is number one at our facilities."
Whew. The thing is they always say that, but yeah, time after time after time, we're finding that these other undercover investigations are seeing the same sort of behavior from their workers. So while officially that might be their stance on it, they're not doing anything to stop this. It's a common thing, and it's not an isolated incident. And I want to point out.
Yeah, and not only that, there's standard practice cruelty, such as tail docking, which is cutting off their tails without anesthesia.
So that's a contradiction of what
isolation
she said.
Crates, severing the mother-baby bond, and the rape rack. And those are all okay forms of animal cruelty, according to the industry. So yeah, this is not just a case of bad apples. And I think it's interesting that just a few guys take the fall, and then now the company makes this big statement about how they're going to do so much better. And
right, that's such a common thing, is villainizing just a few people and then making sure the industry can go on, you know, in its cruel practice.
And we had Nathan Runkle from Mercy for Animals on the show a year or two ago when the first big dairy undercover investigation broke out, the Conklin Dairy Farm, which made big news. And that can be actually listened to on our website if you want to find out more about that. It's totally not an isolated incident. Well, thank you for the news, Alyssa. So today's feature interview is with filmmaker Shira Lane. She's the producer, director, writer, and editor of the documentary film called Got the Facts on Milk, also known as the Milk Documentary. Got the Facts on Milk is a wildly entertaining feature documentary that questions the deep-rooted American belief in the health benefits of milk. Shira's dairy allergy prompted her to examine the scientific research on the subject, and baffled by the lack of consensus, she took a road trip trip to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Nutrition Information Center for the facts. On her month-long 4,600-mile journey to Washington, D.C., through the American Southwest and Bible Belt, she met with top doctors and researchers, dietitians, dairy farmers, parents, teachers, and plenty of ordinary Americans who provide both comic relief and food for thought in this thought-provoking and highly educational film. Shira is here today to speak with us about the film. Hello, Shira, and welcome to the Animal Voices radio show.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on the show today. I had the pleasure of watching the film this week, and it was so interesting and thorough and captivating, I must say. So thank you for making a film like this that exposes so much information to the public about cow's milk that I think otherwise goes largely unknown. I'd like to start by asking you about how you came to make this film. I spoke about your dairy allergy. Was it really just that prompted you to question so many facets of the dairy industry that you decided to then go out and get some answers and make a film about it?
Well, it was my allergy that kind of prompted me to look into it a little more myself to figure out why I'm getting this allergy, because in Israel, it was easy for me to separate, but when I got to, because of the kosher there, when I came to America, dairy, I discovered that dairy is practically in everything that we eat, from gum to meat to olives even. They preserve olives sometimes with lactic acid, which is a milk derivative. And while I was doing this discovery for myself, for my own selfish reasons, I came across a large number of research papers that were actually saying that milk is unhealthy, and this was kind of something very new to me that I did not know, because I, like most people, thought that milk was really helpful. And it really occurred to me that most of us learn of the health benefits of milk through advertisements paid by the dairy industry. So I made this film because I simply wanted to make expert studies and opinions that I found, like, available to the public so they can understand that there might be two sides to this milk coin.
And you really do it in such an accessible way, I must say. Like, your film is really fun to watch. You might think, oh, a documentary about milk, you know, but it's really quite enjoyable. So the film is centered on your road trip journey with your film crew across the U.S., during which you conduct many interviews with all kinds of people. As you said, many of them are just regular people who you pose general questions to about why they drink cow's milk, why cow's milk is supposedly good for them, and from where they get their information about the benefits of cow's milk. And you present a lot of the answers from the people in the film. And I wonder if you could share with us what the connecting common thread was that you found between what I would think to be the vast majority of regular citizens you encountered when it comes to their knowledge of cow's milk that we North Americans have been taught to consume on a regular basis. So what were your findings?
Well, I found a lot of things. There are many things that I found. One, that most people just continue to say whatever the dairy industry has been putting into their brains. They've been really just...
Milk does a body good.
Whatever their parents tell us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
A lot of the responses when you ask people, they're like, oh, milk does a body good. Where are you getting that from?
Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody could really tell me, like, where they got that from or what, you know, how they knew. It's just, that's what they were told, you know, and it's just kind of gone down, and it's been like three to four generations now that that's what we've been told. And I think, like, there are a lot of things that really were inspiring that resonated with me, like, while we were doing this. And while we were talking to so many, like, doctors and research, it really became clear how important it is to look into our food. Like, we assume that our government is looking out and his big brother watching over our food industry. But the truth is, the governing organizations don't have the funding or the manpower to watch over every step. And like most big companies and corporations, corners are cut to increase profit. Just like the girl that was previously speaking, talking about how they treat the cows, you know, a lot of that comes from, like, well, we just want to make this cheaper. And the issue here is that the health of the consumer is not taken into consideration at all. Like, absolutely not.
Right.
And therefore, hearing stories from so many doctors and researchers that cured their patients from chronic diseases like cancer and diabetes by a change in diet alone just seemed impossible, like almost a miracle to me. And interviewing these people, patients, the most inspiring thing to me was I just wanted to make sure that I now looked into my body, and I wanted to teach other people to look into their food and look into their body, like to see we really just can't take what the media has been selling us. You know, this is good. You should buy this. Go for it.
I think that is definitely one of the main questions that your documentary just brings out. It's messages in the media. It's definitely one of the main themes in the film that you explore. So I noticed that a lot of the regular American people who you interviewed, as I said, they would immediately say when you ask your question, it does the body good. That's like the first thing they think of when you ask about milk. And of course, it's a common marketing message that we've heard all our lives from the dairy industry. So how powerful, in your opinion, is the advertising message when it comes to informing citizens on what to buy and what to consume, especially as it relates to dairy?
This is a difficult question. The dairy industry, I'd like to say this. Look, the dairy industry has a lot of money, lot of money, and has the money to put out whatever they can and want to promote their products. They are a for-profit company. And so they are going to pay whoever they can to find something good about dairy. I mean, they began advertising that milk does the body good, it builds strong bones. Well, later on the FDA came and they said, well, we actually looked into research and we found out that, no, it actually leaches calcium from your bones and makes weaker bones. And we talk about a lot of the studies in the film and how that actually works. And so they had to pull that campaign. So then came another campaign that milk will help you lose weight. And so then they have the, you know, the hourglass, like, thing, and they're advertising it. And then suddenly, you know, a couple of years later, they come, FDA comes by, and they say, oh, wait a minute, we don't have enough evidence for that. You're going to have to pull that. But what's happening is they go out really strong on this campaign, make a huge impact on a lot of people. And then by the time they pull it, people don't recognize it. They just move on to their next, they just move on to their next thing, you know, they whatever advertisement that they're doing. And I do apologize, my son is home, so
that's okay.
That's yours. And so what really, really frustrated me and really just kicked my butt to get up and make this film was I went to a meeting that was inside school, and I was sitting, the meeting was inside a school cafeteria, and on the no, it's not yours. And on the poster, there was posters on the wall, and the posters were of dairy industry, and one was telling girls, milk will make you lose weight, and for the boys, it said, milk will help you grow tall.
Right.
And it was at this point that I already understood, like, how much research is out there and how bad dairy is on the body. And it just blew my mind that they continued to advertise this, and to children. It was just, so I think that's what got me. And it really made me this crazy woman at supermarkets. I would see a woman with a child that had, you know, snotty nose, and she was buying milk and saying, here it is. And I'm like, no.
That kind of makes
milk.
Me crazy, too, because you can't exactly tell random people in the store what to do to raise their kids, right? But
I know.
At least what you can do is raise your own child the way you know is right, because you've done the research. Speaking of advertising messages, I like this quote that you use in the film. Advertising is the science of arresting the human intelligence long enough to get money from it. And I think that really sums up that part of the film. So let's talk about some of the nutritional information that you discovered about milk during the process of making the film. You have several leading nutritional experts in the country, such as Dr. John McDougall, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, and Dr. Neil Bernard, who appear in the film to speak about certain key nutritional aspects about dairy and how it affects human beings. Dr. McDougall, for example, calls dairy liquid meat and attributes it to allergy problems and autoimmune diseases. And as a doctor, he says he advises his patients to get off the dairy, who then get better. So what would you like to say about your nutritional findings about dairy as presented in the film?
I have to say that when, the more I did research on it and the more I spoke to these researchers that actually did the studies, you know, I'm not talking about people who read the research like myself. I'm talking about the people we went to, you know, when you talk to these people like Amy Landau, you know, she did a study with Neil Bernard and Colin Campbell. These are the people that actually did the studies. And when you talk to them, suddenly they spoke about, Colin Campbell spoke about how the connection between milk and cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was, to me, just mind-boggling.
He's an expert on cancer, by the way, for people who don't know Dr. T. Colin Campbell and his study and book called The China Study. Check it out for sure.
Correct. Yes, 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 a must read. He, you know, practically what he says is that he did tests and he gave rats, some of them milk and some of them not, and he gave them exactly the same carcinogens. And the ones that were given milk, just their cancer just blew up. And when he took the milk away, the growth stopped. So milk doesn't cause cancer, but it causes it to grow. What Amy Landau says is that, you know, milk is designed to make things grow. And so when you're an adult, you know, you've grown, that's it. You don't need to grow anymore. But you are consuming this beverage that has growth hormones in it, and every milk has growth hormones in it. And that is going to go into your body, and it's looking for something to grow. So it's going to, you know, grow good things, and it's going to grow bad things. And unfortunately, we do not live in a bubble. And this really helps cancer to grow. Another thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand is the diabetes connection, the saturated fat. Then you have the allergy, which Dr. McDougall went in, and I suffer myself. And then you have the calcium, which everybody thinks that they should be drinking milk for the calcium. I mean, that's one of their main things. It's like, oh, it's good for, you know, it's good for your bones. You need it for calcium, and it's exactly the opposite. We speak about a research that we had in the film, and in this film, I mean, in the research, we show the countries that have the highest rates of dairy consumption and the countries that have the highest rates of osteoporosis are pretty much parallel. So, and countries that have low dairy intake actually have really great, strong bones and healthy teeth. So, and it was just interesting. And then what we also did in the film is, like, we took a list of the highest, mm-hmm. we took the same list of the countries that consumed the highest amounts of dairy, and then we got a list of, like, the countries that have the highest rates of cancer. And we wanted to see if that was parallel, and it was pretty much parallel. It was shocking. It was really, really shocking to see that the countries that mostly, you know, European and Western countries like America, Canada, Australia, Northern Europe, most of Northern Europe, had the highest cancer rates, and these are the countries that consume the most dairy.
Yeah, I really liked how you disseminated information and really analyzed it to show very easily for the people watching the film what this means. Like, this is the information that's out there. This is what it means, and take it from there. Another topic that your film covers is where animals are concerned, and that is the cows who produce this milk for us. Can you talk about the process involved in milk production by cows?
Well, it's really, the sad thing is that a lot of people, you know, I'm talking about non-animal activists, but most people consider milk to come from cows that are grazing on grass and have a wonderful life. The unfortunate thing is that when you ask most people, it's like, well, how does a cow give us milk all the time? I mean, it's a mammal, it's a mother.
They have no idea.
And they have no idea that for a mammal to have milk, it needs to give birth. That's how we produce milk. That's how humans do it, and that's how cows do it. And so for them to have a good yield of milk, they have to impregnate the cow every year. Every year. And this is a big stress on the cow. And what happens is, and it's really sad, because as soon as the baby is born, they separate the baby from the mother. Now, a cow has a pregnancy, it's almost the same length as a human pregnancy. You know, the cow is very much attached to the calf, just like us humans are attached mm-hmm. to our body. And I tell people, it's like, can you imagine if they impregnate us, like, artificially inseminated us, just so we could get pregnant, then they take the calf away, and then they use us for our milk. And we never know what's going to happen with our child. We never see our child again.
And, you know,
and that's what we're confined to.
I often hear of stories of the mother cows who are mooing for their baby calves weeks after birth when they're separated. And I think any human
it's
mother
horrible.
Can understand that. Yeah.
And not only that, it's like, And then what do they feed these calves? Like, the female calves are there to become replacement cows because cows no longer last as long as they used to because they're wasted very quickly. And then the male, they become veal, unfortunately. So if you're drinking milk, you are promoting the veal industry. So really, milk is not that vegetarian either, even though it's considered.
That, and that's why people should go vegan. So this film is very thorough with all the interviews you conducted with so many experts in the field. And of course, you wanted to get views from all sides. And one of my favorite, that is the most amusing and shockingly appalling parts of the film for me, was when you interviewed the media spokesperson who is a registered dietitian for the USDA. And you show this interview in the film. Thank you for doing that. Basically all the same kinds of questions that you were asking all the other aforementioned nutrition authorities in the film, but the answers that she gave were kind of different, you could say. And I'd like to just touch upon your experience in this interview and what your impressions were. For example, she spoke about how dairy, which she admits to be a high cholesterol food, should be given to heart disease patients.
Okay, this interview was way better than I ever anticipated.
No kidding, huh?
Because, I mean, when we got this interview, you know, she was like, "Ha, how you doing?" And I asked her these questions, and it was really shocking. It was so shocking, her answers to the questions, you know. And by this point in the film, we had already interviewed all the researchers, so we were kind of very knowledgeable, you know, of what mm-hmm. really is going on. And then she gave us these answers that my cameraman had to practically walk out of the room. And I was
laughable.
Sitting there, and I was sitting there. And he just couldn't hold it together. About 10 minutes later, my assistant director walked out the room. They just couldn't handle the interview. And I'm sitting there all by myself, like, great. Like, here I am by myself, and I'm trying to hold a straight face. Because it wasn't not only that she was telling, people with heart disease should have dairy foods. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? But I couldn't say anything at the time. I was just trying to be, you know, do the interview properly. And then eventually she started talking about hormones. Because we started talking about, mm-hmm. well, what about the hormones, you know?
The hormones,
but growth hormones and everything. And do you think that milk has anything to do with it? And she goes, well, no, that she thinks it all has to do with pheromones. And I'm like, pheromones? She's like, yeah, she thinks that children, that especially girls that are not growing up with their biological fathers, that has more sense to her than milk having anything to do with it.
What she basically said was you asked about early onset puberty because of growth hormones in milk, and she said, oh no, it actually would just happen if girls are living with their stepfathers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yes, that was pretty much insane. And also she goes into talking about that African-American mm-hmm. people need milk.
That is
just insane. 75% of African Americans are lactose intolerant. And let me just kind of explain what lactose intolerance is. It is completely normal. We are supposed to be lactose intolerant because we're only supposed to consume milk until age 2, 3 at most. You know, once we wean off our milk, that's it. Then our body goes, oh, okay, we're not getting any more milk. So let's cease creating lactase, which is what actually breaks down mm-hmm. the lactose, which lactose is actually the sugar in milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's normal because we've moved on to solid foods. So when us Westerners, introduced milk to African Americans and enforcing upon them, it's like, here's something you don't need, drink it. And I just find it very hilarious that the dietitian thinks that African Americans, and then them themselves are like, yeah, it really causes me to just rush to the toilet. Even interviewed one guy in Alabama there who just spoke about, like, he never actually thought about it. he just knew that he's supposed to drink it, and it just made him feel bad.
I think
he just thought that's how it's supposed to be.
That's a common thread. I think people are suffering from all kinds of symptoms that they don't realize that if they get off the milk, they're going to lose these symptoms. We're out of time for this interview. It was awesome. I'm really looking forward to, we're having a film screening next week. So thank you for coming on the show today to speak about the fantastic film, Got the Facts on Milk. And I do encourage our listeners to go to the website, milkdocumentary.com, to learn more about it and how you can watch it. And if you're in the Vancouver area, please do attend the free public screening of the film next Tuesday, October 16th at 7 p.m. at the Central Vancouver Public Library. Thanks so much, Shira, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and have fun at the screening if you're going.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
You are listening to Animal Voices Show here on 100.5 FM CFRO, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territory in Canada. And of course, this is the People's Radio Station, unfettered by corporate control. These are our voices. Robin, why is Co-op Radio important to you?
Oh, so many reasons, but there's no advertising, which is huge. There's no advertising, there's no...
No drink milk ads.
Yeah, exactly. You can hear radical and marginalized voices, and I just hear myself in Co-op Radio, you know, as opposed to mainstream.
Well, thank you for being a part of our show occasionally. We really enjoy having you here as our guest co-host from time to time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Definitely. And that's one of the things about Co-op Radio is you can get involved if you want. I mean, if you don't want your voice to be heard on the air, you can always help out behind the scenes with this show or any other show. So there's lots of awesome benefits of membership. I just wanted to say that Animal Voices has stayed on the air for the last 10 years with the help of individual supporters like you. We couldn't do it without our supporters. And if you believe in the work we do to blow the whistle on animal cruelty and to give a platform to diverse groups and individuals who act to create a better world for all animals, it's time to step up and show your support now. Your help is so much appreciated, and it really goes a long way in helping us continue to do the work that we do. Please call 604-684-8494. That number again, 604-684-8494. 684-8494. Call us now. We have volunteers waiting to talk to you. I just wanted to give a huge thank you to an amazing donor today. You know who you are. Someone very generous stepped up and donated $200 to us today.
Yay.
So we have reached our daily goal, but we still need more. A long way to go. We need to make $1,000 this year. So please help us step up. Every bit counts. You can become a monthly sustainer for any amount. Co-opradio.org. Stay in touch with Animal Voices on Facebook. That's Animal Voices Vancouver, Animal Voices YVR on Twitter, and give us your feedback on radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Stay tuned next week. We will leave you with a song called The Truth About Dairy Cows by Jonathan Mann. This song has a bit of harsh language at the end of the song.
Don't think we're going to get to that part of it.
We're not, but enjoy the song. Thanks for listening, and remember to be kind to animals.
I used to think if I didn't eat meat that I was doing my part. I couldn't give up cheese and dairy, and I didn't see why I should start. After all, cows always give milk to be enjoyed by me and you. I never to question whether or not that is true, but now I know that dairy cows kept pregnant just about their entire lives, artificially inseminated, moving lonely wives,
giving birth every year, baby cows just taken away, and that's how you get your cheese each and every day.
Are separate.
milk to give. So in the eyes of this system, well, they got no right to live. They are just a thing left over, wasted life into a meal. When they end up on a dinner plate, 'cause someone ordered veal.
Cows, cows, they're just mothers without their children.